This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Live from the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's conservative blowtorch.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah.
Well, hello, everybody. Welcome to the Todd Starnes radio program. So happy to have you with us today. We have a lot going on around the country. And by the way, I just want to say thank you for all the kind words. Many of you watched my debut appearance last night on Newsmax Primetime. And this was the old Eric Bolling show. And so they're trying to find a new host for the program. And they're trying people out. And they asked me to step in last night and anchor the show. And had a lot of fun. Great team there at Prime News. And we will see what happens next. But anyway, it's we're still doing the 5 to 6 show on Newsmax too. They keep me busy around that place, so it's not like we just do the radio show and then I go home and I put my feet up and I watch Everybody Loves Raymond or the Andy Griffith Show. No, I got work to do, just getting started. But I do it because I love it, and I love having conversations. Jason Miller was on the show last night, had a great conversation with him, along with some other fine folk. And anyway, would love if you watched the show last night, give us a call. Let me know what you think. Would you like to see me in primetime on Newsmax? 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. You know, that's what O'Reilly used to do. He used to do the show. And then he would do a primetime over at Fox. He would do a radio show, and then he would go and do a TV. And I like doing radio because, you know, you don't have to wear makeup and you don't have to get your hair gussied up. You don't have to wear pants if you don't want to. Dylan, it's okay. I'm wearing pants. All right. It's all right. You're good. We're good. But I'm just saying it's a little bit more laid back, right? When you're doing radio, you can kind of just be there. You don't have to get all gussied up. So I kind of like that. Although I will say this, I don't know what the makeup artist does, but the lovely Miss Kristen, but she gives me a chiseled chin, and that's a little difficult to do. These people are miracle workers, the makeup folks. So anyway, we've got a lot to dig into today. Again, our telephone number, 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. Now, I don't want to alarm you. I really don't. But I think it's important for us to talk about some of the theories that are being posited out there and the tittle-tattle that's happening inside the Beltway. And there is some tittle-tattle. And again, this is I'm not saying this is going to happen. But hear me for just a moment. There could be a scenario moving into November where both political parties may try to install someone else as their candidate. Now, President, I'm going to get to Biden in just a moment. President Trump is facing an interesting situation with this looming July 11th sentencing date. Now, if I were a betting man, I would say that Trump is confined to Mar-a-Lago. I don't think he's going to Rikers Island. But I think the judge is going to sentence him to some sort of time, whether it's 30 days or there's something. It may be 60 or 90 days, but the judge is going to punish because the Democrats have to have this. They've got to have this. It's not good enough that they were able to convict Trump in a sham kangaroo court. No, now they have to make sure that there is some sort of a photograph of Trump in the orange jumpsuit behind the bars. That's, and look, if that happens, I'm telling you, this could be huge for Donald Trump. However, we told you about a poll yesterday. 21% of independents say Trump's conviction has soured them on Trump, and they will not be voting for Donald Trump. Now, Trump's got to have he's got to have independents, but Trump has a couple of other cards to play. His numbers among black voters from 2020 to where we are today, up three times. Three times. It was 7% in 2020, almost 21% right now. And by the way, the numbers among young blacks, in other words, blacks under the age of 50, off the charts for Donald Trump. And it's just utter destruction for Joe Biden. That being said, if Trump is sentenced to prison time, to jail time, there will be people within the party who will suggest that maybe it's time to bring somebody else in, that this is not all going to work. And this is, again, this is just the scuttlebutt. This is what they're talking about quietly in Washington, D.C. And while they're talking about that, and even if Trump is in jail, I believe he wins in a landslide. As a matter of fact, if Trump is in jail, he wins in a landslide. Now, Joe Biden, on the other hand, this is a very bizarre situation. Now, you have to go back in history. And you have to study what happened in the Woodrow Wilson presidency. Now, his wife was sort of like the Jill Biden of the time. Her name was Alice Wilson. And she had the same kind of educational background of Jill Biden. And anyway, Mrs. Wilson was a ferocious woman, absolutely ferocious. And when her husband, who became incredibly ill and had the stroke, well, all of a sudden, she became the de facto president. And it was, I'm sorry, I said Alice. Her name is Edith. I don't know why I said Alice. Anyway, she was basically the de facto president. She was pre-screened on every matter of state. She ran the executive branch of the government for most of Woodrow Wilson's second term in office. She was, as they called her, the secret president. Nobody knew about this. The American people didn't know about it. But she was running the country. And I suspect, ladies and gentlemen, that Jill Biden shares a similar role today, along with, and perhaps, and again, this is where it gets a little murky, because I don't think she likes Joe Biden at all, or rather Barack Obama at all, period. And there's a lot of hostility there. Now, Barack Obama is really upset because he sees his legacy is in tatters, and he sees Joe Biden as the senile man that he is. So there is some speculation that one of two things is going to happen, that Biden is either going to be forced out or they're going to make another change on the ticket. And so I asked, we had some folks on from the Trump campaign last night on Newsmax, and I asked them about this. And I said, do you anticipate that you will be running against a Biden-Harris ticket? And the answer was a little murky, because I don't think they know. And they've heard the same stories I'm hearing out of Washington, D.C., that Jill Biden doesn't want to go anywhere. She wants to stay in that White House. She is power-hungry, power-mad. And it doesn't matter if her husband is feeble. It doesn't matter if her husband just sits there and dribbles drool out of his mouth whenever he speaks. It doesn't matter, because she wants the power. She wants the control. So there could be an effort to invoke the 25th. I don't think that's going to happen. I think the more plausible situation here is that the Democrats replace Kamala Harris. She's the one that's got to go, because as bad as Joe Biden is, as bad as he is, nowhere. Kamala Harris is just unbelievable. She is a bird brain, a ditz. So don't be surprised here if there is a movement afoot to replace Kamala Harris. And who, pray tell, would Kamala Harris be replaced with? Well, this is an interesting thought. And again, just hear me out on this. Hillary Clinton has been lurking about, making appearances. Just over the weekend, she was at the Tony Awards in New York City. Hillary Clinton is on the prowl, and it could possibly be here that the Democrats see this as an opportunity. They get Hillary Clinton as the running mate. It brings a little bit of freshness, albeit old, to the ticket. And then if Biden wins, then they can shove him out of the way and Hillary becomes president of the United States. So there are a lot of moving parts here. The concern is, and again, we haven't heard much from these folks, but they still wield power, and that would be the establishment Republicans. And what are the establishment Republicans going to do? Are they going to sit out this campaign? Would they throw in with Hillary Clinton privately if she jumps into the race? And if so, what sort of an impact is that going to have? All that to say, ladies and gentlemen, we must get out the vote. Every single person in your town, your community, your church, your neighborhood, we've got to get out the vote. We have to overwhelm people at the ballot box. That's what has to happen. But I'm telling you right now, ladies and gentlemen, that this is far from over. And we are going to be going through a very strange political season here, a very strange political cycle. And you just have to be patient, be calm. It's going to be okay. Trump's got a plan. He's got a plan for everything. And I'm telling you right now, if he is in jail, Trump will campaign and win from jail. Martin Luther King Jr. ran the civil rights movement from a prison cell in Birmingham, Alabama. So I do believe that President Trump can run the America First movement from a jail cell at Rikers Island or Mar-a-Lago. 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. I want us to be excited, but we also have to be very much aware of what is going on here, ladies and gentlemen. I don't want you to be caught off guard. Anything is possible between now and Election Day. And you can't trust, we know we can't trust the Democrats. You can't trust the establishment Republicans either. So we've got to get everybody on board. Trump's got people within his own party that are out to destroy him. So we've got to stand together. All right, we've got to take a break here. 901-260-5926 is our number. That's 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show. Thanks to the good people at American Hartford Gold, I'm able to bring you this urgent message. Inflation is on the rise again. The dollar is in danger of collapse, and an overheated stock market could crash at any time. The upcoming election is only adding to the chaos. That's why you should contact the good folks at American Hartford Gold to help you safeguard your financial future with physical gold and silver. You can diversify your savings with precious metals delivered right to your door or in a tax-advantaged gold IRA. Protect your retirement from a collapsing dollar and crashing stock prices. Call 855-913-1133 or text Todd to 65532 today for a free gold and silver informational kit. And if you call now, they'll send you up to $15,000 of free silver on qualifying purchases. Gold has hit record highs and keeps climbing. So call 855-913-1133 or text Todd now to 65532 for your free informational kit today. Welcome back, everybody. Good to have you with us today. 901-260-5926, our number. That's 901-260-5926. Let's go to the phones. Margaret in Georgia. Margaret, what's going on?
I just listened to you last night on Newsmax in prime time, and I'd love to see you do that every night. I don't know how you're going to do it all, but it was good, and I'll listen to you whenever I can on the radio every day and on TV when I know you're going to be there.
Well, you're very kind. Well, thank you for watching, Margaret. We had a lot of fun, and they've got a great team there. Again, they're still trying to figure out who they're going to put into that time slot permanently. But it was really nice to be in the anchor chair last night.
Well, would that replace, if they put you there, would that replace the 5 o'clock on Newsmax 2?
I don't know. That's a lot of work, Margaret. Come on.
I know.
I got to take a nap sometime.
That's true.
And that's the, you know, and that's a challenge because that show at 5 o'clock, my understanding is the ratings are really doing well and the show is growing. And I think it's just because, you know, we have a lot of fun. We really, the show is sort of a fusion between what O'Reilly used to do, what Hannity used to do back in the day with my own twist. So, you know, and people seem to be having a good time with that.
Well, it took me a while to figure out how to get to that 5 o'clock show because I get you on the radio on WDUN every day, but I had a hard time figuring out how to get to Newsmax, too. I mean, I had to do it on my phone. I didn't. It's not on. I have DirecTV, so it's not on there, but I finally did figure out how to get to Newsmax 2 and get you at 5, but
it's a little difficult, but we're on YouTube as the Newsmax 2 YouTube live stream and also on their Facebook, but I think a lot of folks are watching. And then they have the Roku and the OTT platforms as well, Margaret.
Well, and it'll be good to mention that whenever, because, you know, I didn't know that right off, so anyhow.
We'll do a better job of it, Margaret, I can promise you.
Okay, thank you so much.
All right, thanks, Margaret. You know what I'm going to have to do, Dylan? Because you're right, this is, I mean, and by the way, this afternoon I've got to do a Newsmax TV hit in between this show and the Newsmax show. You know, I'm going to call our buddy Lindell, and I'm going to order some MyPillows for the office.
You really are. Get your slippers on.
Oh, that I didn't even think about that.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we're going to call Lindell. He's going to hook us up here. I've got to be well-rested before I go on TV or do radio. And by the way, let me tell you something about MyPillow. It's time. I'm ordering some new product. I do need to get, I don't know, I lost my slippers. I don't know where they are. But right now there's some homeless guy somewhere, and he has very restful feet right now. I think they were stolen. It's very unfortunate. But the good news is that all this month, Mike's doing this big $25 extravaganza, which is pretty awesome, actually, because everybody thinks that MyPillow is just pillows. But they've got so many other great products, and I'm a big fan of the Giza Dream bed sheets, Sleep Like a Baby. As a matter of fact, I've actually stopped taking the what do you call it? It's not the melanoma. That's the cancer.
Melatonin.
Melatonin. Thank you.
Close one.
You know what it is? Yesterday wore me out. We did like 6 hours of broadcasting yesterday.
Yeah.
And I thought I got enough sleep, but no.
I was wondering if you did sleep.
I was out like a light last night. But it was thanks to those Giza Dream Sheets. I love it because it's super hot and they're just super cold and I love it. Anyway, all that to say, get over to MyPillow.com/starts and check out the $25 extravaganza. Pretty much everything they've got, from the sandals to the towels to the sheets, everything is like $25. And if you order anything over $75, they're going to throw in free shipping too. And that is a pretty awesome deal. So again, MyPillow.com. Use the promo code STARNS, and you're going to get those great discounts, including free shipping, $75 orders only. Or you can call them 800-839-8506. That's 800-839-8506. And be sure to use that promo code STARNS. This, ladies and gentlemen, is the President of the United States. What? No, that was the President of the United States yesterday, ladies and gentlemen. That man, do you really believe that man is capable of leading the free world? Do you really believe that? By the way, what did he say? Can we play that again? I'm curious what he had to say. We have some great translators in the audience. We have a lot of Church of God folks that listen. They can translate. Golly, what a day. What a country. What a nation. 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. We'll be right back after. You might have heard Mike Lindell of MyPillow no longer have the support of their box stores or shopping channels the way they used to. They've been part of the cancel culture, so they want to pass the savings directly to you by having a $25 extravaganza. When Mike started MyPillow, it was just a one-product company. With the help of his dedicated employees, they now have hundreds of products, some you may not even know about. To get the word out, I want to invite my listeners to check out their $25 extravaganza. Two-pack multi-use MyPillows, just $25. MyPillow sandals, $25. Their six-pack towel sets, $25. Brand-new four-pack dish towels, you guessed it, just $25. And for the first time ever, the premium MyPillows with all-new Giza fabric, just $25. Orders over $75 will receive free shipping, too. This amazing offer won't last long, so go to MyPillow.com and use the promo code STARNS or call 1-800-839-8506 today. That's promo code STARNS. So I'm a big fan of Mike Rowe, and we're going to get him back on the show sometime soon. It's been a while since we've talked to Mike, and Mike is positing an interesting theory out there that Gen Z could be the blue-collar generation. And Roe is saying that Generation Z is, they're looking at their older brothers and sisters who were in the millennial generation, and they're realizing, holy cow, we don't want to be stuck in our parents' house for the next 30 years. We want to be able to go out there and strike out on our own. We don't want to be saddled with tens of thousands or hundreds of thousands of dollars of student loan debt. And so a lot of kids are actually deciding to go to a trade school or community college. Anyway, Mike Rowe says Gen Z got the memo. He was on News Nation last night with Chris Cuomo. And it turns out that trade schools are leading to more success than many four-year colleges. And Rose says, now on balance, fewer people are now looking at plumbing and welding and other skilled trades as a vocational consolation prize. And he says he's actually encouraged that Gen Z is not buying into that stigma that was on those blue-collar jobs. And let me say that stigma was placed there by Barack Hussein Obama. And Obama actually told the children of America, and keep in mind, we're 2024 right now. Imagine being a child during the Obama years and being told by the president of the United States that there was something wrong with you and that you would not be a success if you did not go to college. Because that's what the administration did. Those are the words that came out of Barack Obama's mouth. And a lot of folks didn't pick up on this at the time, and I wrote about this in a book. Oh, geez, Lou, was this Godless America? I think I wrote about this and pointed out that the reason why Obama doesn't even believe that. Obama really doesn't believe that everybody has to have a college degree. By the way, nobody ever remembered going and attending the class that he allegedly taught on the Constitution. At law school. Nobody remembers that. Nobody ever remembers seeing Obama going to any of these schools. That's very bizarre. No, it's not a conspiracy theory. I'm just sharing, passing along the information that's already out there. So anyway, the reason why Obama wanted everybody, because he wanted all the children of America to go to college. And why is that? Because that is where the indoctrination is happening. That's why. Now, here's an interesting move here. When you look at white-collar jobs and blue-collar jobs, there are more blue-collar jobs. For every 5 tradespeople who retire, only 2 replace them. And it's been that way for over a decade. This is according to Rowe. He says he talks to people every day. And get this. Are you ready for this? They're making over $200,000 a year. And what are they doing? These are plumbers, These are steam fitters. These are pipe fitters. These are electricians. Dylan put down the plunger. So this is a fascinating wave here that we are looking at. Rose says it's not just about making money. It's also about ignoring traditional ideas about belonging to the credentialed class. So a lot of people out there, and especially on CNN and MSDNC, the New York Slimes, all of those folks, they believe that you blue-collar folk are on the lowest rung of the ladder. But I would contend that you folks are up there on the highest rungs, because without all of you folks, we would be living in caves right now. We would be cooking over an open fire. So I say, good for you, Generation Z. Excuse me, my allergies have been kicking in big time here, folks. So my docile tones are not so docile today. 901-260-5926. I think this is exciting, and I'm curious to hear from parents as you sit down with your kids. I mean, many of them have just graduated high school. Many of you have juniors that are moving up to senior status, and they're going to start looking at life after high school. And I'm curious, have you had those kinds of conversations with your kids where you say, you know what, mom, dad, I don't feel like I'm cut out for college. I would much rather go to, you know, a trade school. And I'm curious, mom and dad, what do you encourage your kids to do? Do you encourage the kids to go to college? Do you encourage them to strike out on their own and go to a trade school? How do you handle those conversations? 901-260-5926 is our number. That's 901-260-5926. Interesting. So look, sometime today, Biden is expected to announce that he's going to be implementing mass amnesty. The numbers we are now hearing, a little over a half a million illegals. And understand that all of these illegals are going to be taken care of by you, the taxpayers of America. You know, many of these people have no jobs. They've got no place to live. So we're going to, our tax dollars, in spite of this ginormous inflation we are dealing with, we're going to have to take care of these people. Every single one of them. Healthcare, housing, food, clothing, you name it. We're going to have to pay for it. That's going to be on us. And in the meantime, you have people like Mayor Brandon Johnson out of Chicago, and he's blaming all of the problems in his city on systemic racism. And so now he's spending almost a half $1 million of your tax money to figure out how do we implement reparations. Cut number 9.
Chicago still bears the scars of systemic racism and injustices that have been inflicted on our communities. We've seen them in highways that cut through black neighborhoods, and the industries, of course, that flock to these neighborhoods, often contributing to increased pollution and poor health outcomes. We see it in the trauma, of course, that is caused by gun violence. But we also saw it firsthand with the gross disinvestment that was intentional by previous administrations. And so beautiful neighborhoods like mine, the Austin neighborhood, has seen many health disparities, the lack of nutritious food, the lack of employment opportunity. The disinvestment in our communities have been intentional. And of course, that's why it's imperative that it is now the time to deliver good on reparations for people of Chicago, and particularly black people, the city of Chicago.
So look, the reason why this guy's doing this is because just about every black in the city is enraged and wants to run this guy out of town. And the reason why is this guy is sending all the illegals into black neighborhoods and black communities. And so now he's got to figure out, all right, well, I got to figure out how to get my base back. And he feels like this is the way to get his base back. I don't know about that. Let's go to the phone lines. Ken in North Carolina. Hi, Ken. What's on your mind today?
Well, thanks for taking my call. The subject you just hit on about, you know, what do you talk to your kids about when they come out of high school? Is a trade the right thing for them? I'm that guy. I graduated from high school, went to the Marine Corps, used my GI Bill to get into heating and air conditioning. I lived my life there. But I also had two daughters who recently went to college, and I made them means test their degree. And what I mean by that is I said, okay, with that degree, what can you earn in the first 5 years, and will that pay off your student loans? If not, you need to get some scholarships, some grants, or you need to find a school that you can afford to go to and do that, or maybe just consider doing something different altogether. And, you know, that's kind of the way it worked out, and they both did really well in what they did. Now, I also was beneficiary of hearing a guy named Mike Rowe. I'm sure you've heard of him.
We were just talking about old Mike.
Yeah, dirty hands, clean money. He spoke to a group of Nexstar companies out in Phoenix, Arizona. And the trades right now, I'm going to tell you, people retiring out of the trades are far exceeding the people coming into the trades. And there's going to be a shortage of your plumbers, your heaters, air conditioning guys, your electricians of almost 3 million people in the next 3 years.
Wow.
So if you want a job opportunity with plenty of growth potential and to spend very little money getting into it, and not have any debt coming out of your trade school, you need to get into a trade. It used to be a day and time where these plumbers, heating, air conditioning contractors were revered people, and we let that student student loan, everybody needs a sheet of paper, get in the way of that, and we devalued us as a society. And now we're finding out just how important these guys are.
Ken, I'm curious, do you own your own business?
I do not. I'm actually, you know, I work for a really good owner who knows that we need people in the trade, and we're doing everything we can to bring young people into the trade, bring them along, develop them, invest our experience in them so that that's the trade's left in better hands. I'm going to retire out in about the next 5 to 7 years, and my legacy is not going to be some sales goal I hit or something I did. It's going to be the people that brought into the trade. When I look at the door on my way out, what are they doing the day I left? That's the kind of mentality that we have in the trades right now.
Well, and that's an admirable mentality. I'm curious. So the conversation, let's say a kid shows up, you know, 18 years old, shows up, you know, and says, "Hey, you know, I'm looking for a job." You know, how do you work with those guys, those gals?
Well, the first thing I do is the first question I says, "Are you looking for a job or a career?" Because there's other stops down the road here that will give you a job. I'm going to invest in you. So I want somebody looking for a career because I'm going to get a return. I want a return on my investment in you, and that's going to be over a period of time. So we need to come to an arrangement here that I'm going to invest everything I have in you to make you a great tradesperson, but I want you to stay with me and make a career out of it. And to these younger generation folks, that's what they want. They want to be invested in. They want somebody to see the value in who they are and what they can bring to the table. And when you have an honest conversation with someone like that, it's not a very difficult conversation because, you know, they see what their buddies are doing or their recently graduated buddies that went to school a couple years ahead of them. And they know they're looking at, you know, next to nothing jobs with, you know, maybe a 1 or 2 year contract. And so it's a good conversation to have with young people. And we just let them know, you know, up front, we offer something called a ride-along program where you can actually ride with a plumber for a day just to see what it feels like, and we pay them like $150 for that day.
Wow.
And it's just, you know, it's some of the things we're having to do in the trades just to grab people, just to get them and grab their attention. And, you know, we're looking at our local trade schools. We're going in there weekly, monthly, meeting with those guys that are in the trade school, trying to get them to come to us once they're done. It's very competitive market. It's very open market. You just have to be willing to work, you know, a little bit and get dirty, sweat, and honest days work for an honest day's pay.
That's it. Ken, look, I appreciate the information, and I love what you did with your daughters there. And I think that's great advice for moms and dads, you know, sitting down with their kids and just, you know, let's look at it. All right, what is this degree that you want? Let's see how much it's going to cost you. Let's see how much money it's going to bring in. That just very common sense approach. Ken, got to run, my friend. Thank you so much for listening. Thanks for calling in. Let's go to Carolyn in Georgia. Hi, Carolyn. What's on your mind?
Well, I wonder if your vision is not too narrow. At trade schools, you can get a degree in computers, bookkeeping, other things that are not considered blue collar. And also, most trade schools offer courses that would be applicable to transfer to a college if they decide to get more advanced degree. But you could walk out of a trade school with a computer degree and be hired tomorrow.
Well, there certainly are a lot of jobs available there, Carolyn. And I would say this with the, you know, with the AI generation, you know, fast approaching us. Well, I think we're right smack in the early stages of it right now. There would be a lot of jobs available. So that's a very good point. So, Carolyn, I appreciate you calling in. Thank you for that thought. And again, it's just getting your kids to think a little bit outside the box. That's what this is really all about. And the reality is we need these folks. We need every single one of them. And by the way, we need doctors who are not diversity hires. We need nurses who are not diversity hires. We need people that are actually skilled in these professions. All right, we got to take a break here. 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. We'll be right back.
Hi, everyone. If you've been injured in an accident that was not your fault, listen up. We have legal professionals standing by to answer your questions for free. Call now and find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth. Call 800-702-5400. I'm here with spokesman John Wolf. So, John, tell everyone listening who should call right now.
Well, Maria, first off, thank you for having me here. It's always nice to answer the listeners' questions. Now, as far as who should call in, anyone who's been injured in an accident and think you deserve compensation, give us a call right now. 800-702-5400. You'll find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth.
Thanks, John. You heard it, folks. Take advantage of this opportunity and call now. 800-702-5400.
Advertisement sponsored by Legal Help Center may not be available in all states.
All right, some breaking news here coming out of the New York Court of Appeals. They are now rejecting former President Trump's bid to have that gag order against him lifted. So, look, Judge Juan Merchan, who is a Democrat operative, his daughter, one of the key top fundraisers for Democrat candidates, imposed a gag order. So Trump is not able to talk about any of the witnesses in this sham trial, this hush money trial. He's not even allowed to talk about the case, even though the trial's over, right? He's been convicted. He is still not allowed to talk about it. This is just blatantly unconstitutional. So Trump and his team are appealing this. This is insane. Anyway, the appellate court just issuing the ruling moments ago. The Trump campaign posting this statement: President Trump and his legal team will continue to fight against the unconstitutional gag order imposed by Justice Merchan. The gag order, and here's the thing, it doesn't apply to everybody in the case, right? So everybody else can talk about it, but the one person who can't talk about it is Donald J. Trump. This is nothing more than election interfering. And I'm telling you, we're going to have more of this. And it's going to get a lot worse, folks, so just be prepared. All right, 901-260-5926 is our number. Let's go to Mac in Georgia. Hi, Mac. What's on your mind?
Hi. I just wanted to talk about the trade school. I have three children, all in their 50s now, one with an MBA, one with a bachelor's degree, and one who could have been anything. He has an IQ over 140, but he went to a technical college, a technical school. And he makes more money than the brother and sister together.
Is that, well, it turns out that high IQ paid off, didn't it, Mac?
Yeah, but now, well, he could have been anything, though. He broke his heart when he brought home a 95 on a test. He could have been anything. But instead of going to college, he went to the electrical school, and he has his own electrical company, and he just makes more money than he knows what to do with.
Mac, was that a tough decision for you to say, you know what, son, okay, if you don't want to go to college, that's okay? Was that tough?
No, I did not say that. I'm sorry, back then, 35 years ago, I wanted him to go to college.
Yeah.
But he didn't want any part of it.
Wow.
And his brother and sister went and a bachelor's degree and master's degree, and they both do well. Now, they have good college graduate jobs. But he, with his own business in technical things,
he's the man. I love it. Mac, I got to run, my friend. What a great story. All right, hang tight, folks. We got some breaking news coming up at the top of the hour. We'll be right back. This is the Todd Stern Show.
From the Liberty University Studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's favorite gun-toting, Bible-clinging, deplorable American.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
All right. Well, hello, everybody. Welcome to the Todd Starnes Radio Show. So happy to have you with us today. And, wow, do we have a busy hour ahead of us. I want to share some news coming out of Capitol Hill right now. This coming from Marjorie Taylor Greene from Georgia, and there's a lot of scuttlebutt right now on Capitol Hill about whether or not Congress can intervene and protect Steve Bannon and get Peter Navarro out of jail. And they want to do that by rescinding the subpoenas that were issued. So we're going to keep you updated on all of this information coming out over the next little while. Also, we're getting some information out of Israel that Benjamin Netanyahu has attacked the Biden administration. Our friends at Newsmax are working on that as well. Our telephone number this hour of the program, 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. At this moment, thousands of people lining up to greet President Trump in Wisconsin. Now, we're going to carry the speech, the president's speech, live on Newsmax 2. After the speech, we're going to give you a blow-by-blow of what happened. We've got a reporter boots on the ground there, and that'll happen later tonight, 5 o'clock Eastern on Newsmax. There is another story that is generating some headlines, and this one coming out of Nashville. There's a gentleman by the name of Michael Patrick Leahy. He is the editor-in-chief of the Tennessee Star, and he has been at the center of a controversy surrounding this transgender shooter's manifesto. We're talking about Audrey Hale. She murdered six people at the Covenant School in Nashville. And the media has pretty much taken a pass on demanding that the manifesto be turned over, but the Star has obtained about 80 pages of her journal, and it is very disturbing. Here to talk about it is a great friend of this program, one of the best talk radio hosts in America, our good buddy Lars Larson. Lars, how you doing today?
I'm doing well, Todd. You are too kind, because I'm concerned about this as well, because when you see that a major incident has happened with the loss of life, including the loss of children's lives, and then the police clam up. Usually the police, one of the first questions they get is, why did this happen? Whatever this happens to be. In this case, a horrific attack on a Christian school. And the police usually try as quickly as they can to explain to the public, why do we think this happened? What does the evidence point to? Is there any definitive answer as to why this thing happened or what might have motivated the killer? And in this case, what they decided to do was bury it as deep as they could, and they got cooperation from the other authorities in burying it. And then you wonder, well, if they're keeping the secret from the public, why are they keeping it secret? What's the motivation of the police? Since they serve the general public, they do not serve the killer, they do not serve the attorneys of the killer, and most of the time they don't serve political correctness or wokeism. And yet in this case, it seems as though they have been serving that. They didn't want to talk about Audrey Hale's transgenderism or whatever the mental difficulty was that affected Audrey Hale. And that is wrong. I mean, the public has a right to know. If the police know what was going on, the public has a right to know.
So, Lars, the way I understand this, so Leahy, somebody leaked the documents, 80-some-odd pages. Now, he was summoned to court, but the reason why is that they thought that he might have broken the law here, but I don't think he did, because he did not publish the journal. He reported on the contents that he had, and I think there is a distinction there.
Big distinction there. And in fact, in most states these days, Todd, when I was a reporter, so this goes back to decades, in most states there's what's known as a shield law. Now, even among the general public, it can be controversial, because I always tell people, reporters have no special privilege that you don't have as well. But there is one when it comes to the shield law. And the basic idea is, if I'm a reporter and I need to go out and gather information, many times I'll be told information by people legally who are sharing information with me. And then if I decide I'm going to publish it, I'm probably going to publish anything that's of note, meaning you're going to put the information out so that the public will know what's going on. The stuff you don't publish is probably the most, you know, the least interesting stuff there is. But I've had occasions where people tip me off to stories, and then I was questioned under oath, you know, tell us how you got this information. I don't have to say. Tell us who gave you the information. You don't have to say, under the shield law. And I suspect that Tennessee has the same kind of law. And the reason is that if people who talk to reporters and tip them off to things that are going on, many times, I know there's a popular perception that people only give you a tip based on money or some kind of advantage. Todd, you know what I think the most powerful motivator for people to tell me? There are cops in police agencies that will tell me about something because they see something their own department is doing and they think, this is wrong, except they can't go out and say something about it. But if they know a reporter, they can say, you should call the police department and ask them why they're doing X, Y, or Z. And then I get the information from the police department, but the tip comes from a cop. If somebody asks me to give up that cop, and I do, do you know what happens to my ability to ever get tips from anybody anymore? It goes away. And the courts have recognized the idea that if you tell reporters you must say the source of your information, that at that point you are crippling journalism. Not because all journalism is done based on tips or released information. And there are very few kinds of information, classified documents would be one exception, where simply having the information and publicizing it is a criminal act. Hmm. It can be in those cases, but in most cases, somebody leaks you some information. It may be against their department's rules to leak it, but it's not a violation of the law for you to either publish it, and I think he probably could have published it, but you're right, to report on it is just as significant. When you say, this is what's inside these documents, I honestly think he probably could have gotten away with simply saying, and here are the documents. So the public can look at them and decide, do we think this is valid or not? I think the same thing should be done with Ashley Biden's diary about her taking showers at an inappropriate age with the demented guy who's sitting in the White House right now.
Lars Larson, everybody on the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. That's a nice segue. Lars...
Well, I had to throw it in there. It comes to mind when I think about information. And if you say, well, why do we have a right to know that? Oh, I don't know. If we have a full-blown pervert who's in the White House, and I think Joe Biden is a pervert, I think he acts in a perverted way toward children, toward women who are not part of his family or even known well to him. He behaves that way. You say, well, what's the significance? A pervert in the White House? I think that's something the public has a right to know. Now, if Democrats still want to vote for a pervert, line up on November 5th. You can do it.
There you go. Lars Larson on the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line today. Lars, to that point, you think Biden's really going to run here? I am hearing a lot of scuttlebutt that at the end of the day, it's going to be somebody else.
I think you're right, but I don't think it's going to be Joe's decision. I think the party is looking at him. He is damaged goods, number one. He is pulling low poll numbers. And if you, and I'm sure you've shared with your audience, some of these states where Democrats running for re-election to the U.S. Senate are doing quite well, and Joe Biden is dragging them down. You know, they have positive numbers, 6, 7, 8, 10% ahead in their race, and Joe is 2 or 3 points behind. And in a lot of, in most cases, that doesn't make sense. Todd, you and I both know that if somebody is a, you know, a regular Democrat, if they're going to vote for the Democrat for Senate, they're also going to vote for the Democrat for president on the same ballot. And yet in this case, Joe is a boat anchor. I mean, he's an albatross around the neck of the Democrat Party, party of slavery since 1829, by the way. Just want to remind people of that, too. And so will the party decide to kick him to the curb? And I think they might, they just might, for their own survival. Except who they're going to slide into his place, who can do any better, I don't know. Gavin Newsom, who's made a wasteland of California and people are fleeing the state, is he going to be the guy?
You see, I, you know, Hillary Clinton's been popping up, and I wouldn't be surprised.
Oh my God.
Hold on, now hear me out on this, Lars.
You just left a bad taste in my mouth.
I know, but think about this. They were, it's Kamala. They've got to replace Kamala. That's the problem. They,
yes.
Everybody
Agreed.
Knows, even the far leftists know, even AOC knows we can't have Kamala in that White House. She's a dingbat. So I think maybe we could see a change there. They bring someone like a Hillary in, you know she wants it, and then that puts her in a place to take over for Joe when they decide, you know, to invoke the 25th, if he wins.
I got to tell you, though, Hillary Clinton, two-time loser, and frankly, Todd, I know nobody talks about this anymore, but when she ran for Senate, I said, what qualifies her to run for Senate? And people back then said, well, she was first lady. She slept with Bill Clinton. That would qualify a lot of women for the United States Senate.
Wow.
But what special skills or talents did she bring? And then when she became Secretary of State, it's like, what skills or talents does she have? And what progress or what kinds of achievements did she get as Secretary of State? She raised a lot of money for her private foundation, but other than that, she flew a lot of airplane miles. Big deal. But other than that, she didn't do much of anything that was notable. So what makes her qualified to be president of the United States? She's never been anything before. She was first lady, then she was U.S. Senate for an eye blink, and then she was Secretary of State with no notable accomplishments. I guess she's probably got about the same track record as Joe Biden. Half a year or half a century in so-called public service and nothing to show for it.
Could be. It's going to be fascinating to watch all this play out. What's going up on the show today, Lars?
Oh, my goodness. We've got a whole bunch. Number one, Joe Biden's attempt illegally to grant American residency, if not citizenship, to illegal aliens as long as they marry American citizens. And what you're inviting is the kind of fraud that the U.S. federal government usually prosecutes. I don't know if you remember this, but in my region, there was this group called the Rajneeshis. It was a big cult. And at the time, the U.S. attorney bragged they caught this cult marrying off 400 of their members to 400 citizens. They called it the biggest immigration fraud case in American history. This will be bigger, because we're talking about hundreds of thousands of illegal aliens that Joe Biden has invited to come into our country illegally. And now he wants to, without benefit of Congress, somehow legalize their status, saying all you got to do is find a young lady or a young man and marry up and you're good to go.
That's
now,
it.
That's inviting fraud. That's a moral hazard.
Going to be a lot of fun today, ladies and gentlemen. The Lars Larson Show later this afternoon. By the way, follow Lars on X at Lars Larson Show. Lars, always good hearing from you, friend.
It is always good talking to you, and I love hearing from folks in Tennessee. They bring a great and common sense perspective to the show.
Yes, we do. It's all the it's the iced tea and the pork butt, Lars. All right, take care, my friend. Lars Larson, everybody, on the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. Well, there you go. By the way, before we go to break, I do want to, well, you know what, we'll take a break. And when we come back, I want to play some audio. This is from a news report. A 64-year-old Colorado man killed by an illegal alien in a car crash. The illegal had been deported 16 times. 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show. All right, welcome back, everybody. Good to have you with us. 901-260-5926 is our telephone number. So I want to play this report out of Colorado. Just a horrible story. Cut number one, please.
The semi-truck driver arrested in the deadly crash on Highway 285 was in the country without proper documentation.
Immigration Customs and Enforcement says he returned to Mexico at least 16 times. As 9 News reporter Kelly Rinke explains, it started in 2002 with an arrest in Oregon.
A driver of a semi-truck may have been going too fast when he lost control on Highway 285. Law enforcement is familiar with this man, Ignacio Cruz Mendoza. Federal officials say he had been deported or left the U.S. voluntarily 16 times over the last 22 years. It began in 2002 when Cruz Mendoza was arrested in Oregon. 9 News investigates learned it was a low-level drug trafficking charge. 10 days in jail, 18 months probation. Federal records show some of his immigration history. Cruz Mendoza was deported on September 10, 2004. He re-entered the U.S. without proper authorization 10 days later. Other than the drug trafficking charge, ICE is not aware of any other local criminal charges on his record. In Colorado, State Patrol says he was driving a big rig without a commercial driver's license. The crash killed a 64-year-old man and seriously hurt another person.
Cruz Mendoza is being held on a $50,000 cash or surety bond, which means that he can go to a bondsman and post bail. ICE has asked Jefferson County to tell them if he is released from custody. He would then stay in ICE custody pending immigration proceedings.
16 times. 16 times this guy got deported. Made it back across the border and now an American citizen is dead. You know, it just seems to me that at some point we have to start holding our elected leaders accountable. They're going to implement these policies that put us all in harm's way. They should face charges as well. That's what needs to happen here. It's really shameful. But again, look at how the Democrats act, right? Somebody like Lakin Riley, a sweet, innocent young lady, her whole life ahead of her. She is murdered and the administration just ignores her and her family. Meanwhile, George Floyd is treated like Jesus Christ. I mean, this helps you understand where you are in the great scheme of things. The Democrats don't care about any of us. All they care about is causing mayhem in the streets of American cities. That's what's going on here. 901-260-5926 is our number. That's 901-260-5926. Want to play some audio here. This is from Chicago. Stacy Gates, she is the president of the Chicago Teachers Union. We're going to talk about this coming up a little bit more in depth after the break here. But I want you to hear this audio. Miss Gates tells a news radio host she has a few thoughts about all of you conservative people out there. Take a listen. Cut 14.
I know. Take care of the conservative argument. Number one, conservatives don't even want black children to be able to read. Remember, these same conservatives are the conservatives who probably would have been championing black codes, during Reconstruction or thereafter. So forgive me again if conservatives pushing back on educating immigrant children, black children, children who live in poverty, doesn't make my anxiety go up. That's what they're supposed to say. That is literally a part of the oath that they take to be right wing.
Is that true? All of you conservatives out there, when you decide to take the oath to become a conservative, do you affirm that you will prevent black children from ever being able to read? I must have missed that when I was taking my oath to become a conservative. Because we didn't, that was not in the oath of conservativeness that I took. But I'm curious about this because right now there are raging debates in many schools because the schools have failed. They're getting millions and millions of our tax dollars and kids are coming out stupid. 901-260-5926. Is that true that you conservatives don't want black children to be able to read? This is the head of the teachers union, folks. 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show. All right, coming up this afternoon, President Trump in Racine, Wisconsin, and there is a huge crowd already on hand. The The rally doesn't even start till 3 o'clock Eastern, or I'm sorry, 4 o'clock Eastern. So a lot of people there in Wisconsin, one of the battleground states, people wanting to meet President Trump. Good for them. In cheese country. So the headline here from Chicago, teachers union boss says conservatives don't want black kids to know how to read. The head of the teachers union, Stacey Davis Gates, well, these white people, they want the black children of America to be ignorant. Really? Really? Where is the proof of that? So she was doing an interview on WBBM, which is a radio station there in the Windy City in Chicagoland. And she's out there defending the union's contract demands. You know, they're wanting all of this money. And the problem is many of these public schools are failing. Here in Memphis, Tennessee, for example, we just hired a new superintendent. She seems like she knows what she's doing here. She walks in and she realizes, holy crap, nearly half of the schools got a D or an F from the Tennessee Department of Education. These kids are stupid. They're not learning anything. By the way, that's not the conservative people. So as a matter of fact, the conservatives are out there saying, we believe that every child should be in a good school. We believe that every child, no matter their skin color, should be able to read and to write and do mathematics and understand science, because if they don't, they will not have the tools to succeed later in life. So I'm curious where this union chick got this notion that somehow conservatives don't want black children to read or write. Let's go to Susanna, WDUN in Georgia. Susanna, what say you?
This is just perpetuated by the media propaganda. I would ask her, name your source. This is just more of the same. It's, you know, as far as the schools are concerned, the kids are being taught by political activists. And every responsible person in the Democrat Party knows that this is PAP. It's not true, and they know it. They're just trying to perpetuate it. And for the people who don't have a brain in their head, like in social, they're going to read that and they'll perpetuate it. They'll just keep saying, you say something enough, sometimes people will catch on and it's passed off as the truth. But we all know that's not true. It's just not true.
Well, no, it's not true. But Susanna, the problem is that most people are not going to be like you, right? They're not well read. They're not listening to talk radio on a regular basis. So they're going to be people out there, and they don't know anything about the conservatives other than what, you know, they hear on their local news. And what bothers me here is there was no pushback. You, to your point, oh wow, that's a pretty horrible allegation. Where is your evidence? Give us names. We'll publicly shame them.
That's right. And it's been like this for the last, actually, it's been like this for the last 10 years. Biden's taking his show on the road, but now that show's breaking down. So anyway, thank you, Todd. Have a good day.
All right, Susanna, thank you for calling in. And Susanna is a very well-read person, and so she's in on the, she knows, but I guarantee you that most people, they don't have a clue, and the next thing you know, there's going to be a TV ad in Chicago talking about how white people want your black child to grow up and be illiterate. And they're like, wow, we got to stop that. Unbelievable. 901-260-5926. Let's go to Maine. Webb on the line. Hi, Webb. What's on your mind?
Yeah. Hi, Todd. How are you? I'm just curious. This edict that Mr. Biden passed without Congress or anybody else approving it, can that be rescinded by the next president that comes in? I realize it'll cause problems with people who get married, but if we look at it, Todd, they could... The people getting married, they could just marry someone to become a citizen and then take off.
Oh, yeah. Well, look, if you remember when Joe Biden got elected, he spent the first week issuing orders that reversed all of President Trump's. I think Trump had something like 3 or 4 dozen executive orders. So, yeah, that can definitely be done. And you're right, though, the challenge is, what about all those people that got married? Are they going to have to, you know, is that going to be have some sort of an impact? And we'll have to let the lawyers haggle about that.
Oh, boy. All right. Thank you.
Yeah. Guys. All right. Webb, thank you for calling in. It's a mess. 901-260-5926. Remember Baghdad Bob back in the Iraq war? And Baghdad Bob was the spokes dude for Saddam Hussein, or as George H.W. Bush called him, Saddam Hussein. So anyway, it didn't matter how bad things were. There were like nuclear bombs going off in the background. And Baghdad Bob was like, oh, it's a beautiful day here in Baghdad. Come vacation, bring your family. I mean, every single day on the TV, and it became a joke. I think SNL even did a couple of skits about the guy. Anyway, that being said, KJP is now the new Baghdad Barbie. And Baghdad Barbie yesterday came out in front of the press corps. And she told the assembled reporters that all those reports over the weekend, all of the video showing President Biden freezing on stage and Obama dragging him off stage, that never happened. She actually said these are all deep state, or rather deep fakes. That's what she called it. In other words, she's saying what you saw, you did not see. Don't trust your lying eyes. Cut number 13.
Start your tape right now, because I'm about to tell you the truth. And F you if you can't handle the truth. This version of Biden is the best Biden ever.
She knows so long as he was denied.
In fact, I think he's better than he's ever been.
President Biden has a photographic memory. His understanding and mastery of a complicated geopolitical situation, remarkable.
He is sharp, intensely probing, and detail-oriented and focused.
Jackie, are you here? Where's Jackie? I didn't think she was going to be here.
I was sitting, you know, of 2 feet from him across the table, and he was, you know, intense.
Have trouble walking sometimes? Yeah, so did FDR. He wanted GD war.
But he's totally focused. He's very sharp.
They say he's sharp in meetings and so on.
Very lucid, very well informed. Biden is stately, and he comes with gravitas. There hasn't been, as far as I know, a single claim that Biden made a mistake.
Ageism is an issue. Americans have a rich history of holding people's physical characteristics against them. Okay, you can ask African Americans.
He's older. That doesn't mean that he is unfit, and there's a lot of ageism there.
Now, this age attack, this obsession by the right.
Joe Biden may not be able to speak for himself the way that he used to.
They want to think to take on government if we get out of line, which they're talking again about. And that's him lying around.
I think people should be speaking up for Joe Biden.
Americans and reporters in the media are just judging him by a physical appearance, and it's horribly unfair.
So those are all the reporters that are now taking up KJP's approach that these videos showing Biden just being frozen or bending over and sniffing a child, or, I don't know, nuzzling the head of Pope Francis, these are all make-believe. None of this happened. That's what she literally told Peter Doocy and James Rosen. And we had all this audio that we actually played for you last night on Newsmax. And it's just fascinating because she is literally saying it never happened. Even Doocy is like, wait a second, Doocy over at Fox, wait, we've got the video. That's a fake video. Wait, what? You can't say, but that's their argument. What about all those world leaders that have to guide Biden, KJP? What about that? Cut six.
There were two instances in recent days where leaders, former President Obama and George Maloney of Italy, they physically put hands on the president to guide him and show him, give stage directions. Are they doing that on their own, or has anybody asked them to run the show like that?
First of all, let me speak to the most recent, right? And as we saw on Saturday, the President Obama put President Obama's office put out a statement, so I would refer you to that statement about what was being accused in those by others. And he said this did not happen in the sense of what people were saying they were seeing, right? Or what was being falsely reported that they were seeing. Let's not forget, President Obama, President Biden have a relationship. They are friends. They're like family to each other. And I think that's what you saw. You saw the president put his hand behind on the back of President Biden, and they walked off the stage after taking questions or at an event taking questions from Jimmy Kimmel. That is what you saw.
Anybody believing that? Are you buying what the Democrats are trying to sell here? Now, Nicole Wallace, who is one of the propagandists over on MSDNC, she is blasting all of us for sharing these videos. And by the way, these videos are not edited. If you go on my website, you see the full video. So there's nothing edited here. As a matter of fact, the only thing that's ever been edited is coming out of the White House. Remember the 13-second video clip that had to be cut five different times? Biden does not have the mental capacity to deliver a 13-second video address. Now, if they want to talk about deep fakes, all right, fine, let's talk about deep fakes. Let's see the original video, KJP. Let's see exactly why you guys needed to edit a 13-second video five times. And I'm going to tell you why. Marka. Ice cream. Jill, I need to sniff somebody. That's why. That's 13 seconds, by the way. Here's Nicole Wallace, cut number two.
There's a growing and insidious trend in right-wing media, broadcast, print, and social media. It is to take highly misleading and selectively edited videos of President Biden directly from Republican National Committee social media accounts and then use those videos to spread messages virally to cast doubt on President Biden's fitness for office. Here is this headline from the New York Post, quote, Biden appears to freeze up, has to be led off stage by Obama at Megabucks LA fundraiser. The full video posted by Biden finance chair on Twitter shows something entirely different. Biden reacting to applause and then walking off stage with former President Obama. It comes less than 1 week after the New York Post made a cover out of another piece of deceptively edited tape, calling him meander in chief due to what they claim was Biden walking away during a skydiving demonstration during the G7 summit last week. The only problem is that the full video, which emerged almost instantly, shows Biden was going over to congratulate one of the skydivers who's cropped out of the video entirely. Both the articles are based on cheap fakes, videos of real events that are intentionally manipulated to fool viewers, released on an RNC opposition research social media account with zero independent fact-checking by these so-called journalists and spread throughout the right-wing ecosystem. And we would take the hand-wringing by right-wing media about Biden's mental fitness in videos intentionally manipulated to make him look unfit, maybe a little more seriously, if they weren't radio silent about the repeated, glaring, and real mental lapses happening behind podiums and on camera on the part of Donald Trump.
All right, there you go. So they're laying the groundwork now for, and this will be their narrative. Joe Biden is even though he may be in his 80s, is one of the most physically fit, one of the most mentally with it presidents we've had in the history of the Republic. And that all the videos you see, all of the audio clips that you hear, all of it is fake. That Joe Biden has the mental capacity right now of Barack Hussein Obama, which is not much, but, you know, he can deliver a good speech. Meaningless, but it's, you know, he puts it together pretty well. Let's go to Robin in Indiana. Hi, Robin. What say you?
Hey, Todd. Well, KJP actually said cheap fakes, not deep fakes.
She said both.
Talking about.
Yeah, she said both.
Yeah, but it was hilarious. I was going to talk about the gag order because hasn't there been like 20-something states who filed against the to get the gag order done, the different attorney generals?
That is correct, yes, Robin.
Yeah, because my state's one of them, so woohoo. But I was just thinking it was funny. I was waiting for the memes on the cheap fakes because she kept saying cheap fakes.
She's a moron, Robin. And they can't do anything about it. I love this. They can't fire her because she is a protected class. She is a black lesbian immigrant. So she's got like the holy trifecta right there. So they're stuck with her.
There's the DEI right there, the DEI hire.
The DUMB hire.
This is what we get,
yes.
Isn't it?
It is. Robin, you're exactly right. Hey, Robin, I've got to skedaddle for a break. God bless you for calling in. Thank you for listening in Indiana. 901-260-5926 is our number. That's 901-260-5926.
Well, Todd, you talk about illegals coming into this country and killing people. What about that Maryland woman that was killed, murdered, and raped by that El Salvador guy? She leaves behind 5 kids. This administration don't care. We're just collateral damage to them. Just like when COVID hit. They don't care. They just don't care what happens to us. They never have and they never will. It's the numbers aren't big enough for them to care. That's what it is. This country is just in trouble.
All right. That's Mark from Florida. Mark, by the way, using our shout-out function on our brand-new app. So if you go to our website, download the app, you'll be able to leave us a shout-out. Maybe you can't call into the show. Maybe you're on lunch break or something of that. Well, you can make it super simple. Just record your comment and send it right to us like Mark from the Villages in Florida just did. To Mark's point, by the way, the person he's talking about, her name is Rachel Morin, and she was out jogging on a very popular hiking trail in Maryland. An illegal alien who was prowling, a predator, was in the bushes, came out and attacked her, killed her, and just left her body in a culvert. And this guy was finally captured in Tulsa, Oklahoma, should not have been in the country. To Mark's point, it's just really unbelievable. All right, folks, don't forget, President Trump is going to be speaking at a big rally in Wisconsin this afternoon, and you're going to be able to watch it exclusively on Newsmax. By the way, if you haven't gotten Newsmax or Newsmax 2, our streaming channel, what are you waiting for? I mean, everybody is watching now. It's just unbelievable. By the way, you can now watch Newsmax 2 on big OTT platforms like Roku, Samsung, and Amazon. But here's what you really need to do, because I know a lot of you are going to be out and about this afternoon. You may not be home, so you can still watch President Trump's address on your smartphone. How do you do that? It's very simple. Just go to NewsmaxPlus.com. That's NewsmaxPlus.com. And you can start a free trial today. It costs absolutely nothing to start. Just go to NewsmaxPlus.com. All right, hang tight, everybody. Got to take a quick break. 901-260-5926 is our number. This is the Todd Stern Show.
From the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's Common Sense Conservative Commentary from Todd Starnes.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Well, hello, everybody. Welcome to the Todd Starnes radio program. So very happy to have you with us today. Now, this is a very interesting story coming out of ABC News. The U.S. Surgeon General says that social media platforms should add health warnings for younger users. This is fascinating, ladies and gentlemen. The government says that letting your child hang out on social media could be bad for their health, much like letting your child smoke a cigarette. Is this true? At what age do you allow your children to get onto the websites, the social media platforms? And I'm curious, Dylan, I mean, you are like in your, what, mid-20s now, getting close to being mid-20s.
Yeah, 25.
So how old were you when you decided, your parents said, okay, you're going to be able to go on social media.
They gave me about 16 years old was when I got my first like iPhone. So,
and that's when you were allowed to what? What was your first social media account?
I had Instagram. It's my first
one. Oh, okay.
Instagram. That was when everybody was posting just memes. There weren't really a lot of pictures of people. Mm-hmm. So it was kind of harmless, but it's grown.
Was that like a big thing? I mean, was there like a big social, you know, like within your social circles, everybody was talking, oh, we got to, you know, yeah. we got to get on social media.
Yeah, it was always Instagram. And it wasn't like crazy like when I was that age. But as I got older, social media became more of the norm. Everybody had Instagram, Snapchat, Twitter was huge. So,
you know, a lot of younger users now, and by younger, I don't mean like, I mean, over 18, I would say under 30, that group, they're sort of distancing themselves or detaching themselves from social media.
Yeah, I've noticed that a lot now, too. And myself, too. You try to limit your time because you know how much you can spend on there and get kind of doom scrolling, you know, now TikTok with it. But, yeah, we know the harm that it's been causing to our generation. So now our generation's kind of speaking up to those people younger than us and our age to be like, hey, you need to limit this a little bit because it's harmful to
you. Is that hard to do though? I mean, yeah. It's like an addiction.
It really, you know, it is. It's an addiction because you'll find yourself doing less things like reading, being outside, being with people, socializing, and you'll find yourself just scrolling on TikTok or Instagram, looking at, you know, just pictures.
So the White House says this is all about mental health. So being on a social media platform could impact the way you feel about yourself. That there are more young people that are getting depressed now because they see all their friends having a good time and these social media influencers that are always having a good time. But a lot of times what people don't realize is those social media influencers, these are kids who are really not flying on private jets. You can actually go and have your photos made in studios that look like you're on a private jet.
Right. And people that post on Instagram and their social medias, they don't, you know, they're not living that way every single day of their life. And, you know, if you're sitting on there and you're scrolling, like, that's what you're thinking. Because there's a different person every time. They're just living their life on a private jet in the beach, you know.
Heading down to the Bahamas.
Get envious is what it is.
Mm-hmm. It is. It is. And people, and then all of a sudden you feel like, oh, my gosh, I went to Dollywood. I'm a loser. Right? When, in fact, you're not, because Dollywood's pretty cool.
Pretty great.
It's a great place. So is Branson, Missouri. The Ark Encounter. I'm just saying, there are lots of great, cool things to do. So just because, you know, you're not taking fake photos of yourself on a fake jet with like a Photoshop picture of a beach behind you, you're actually the cool person. That's all. Anyway, this is all very fascinating. And I'm curious, moms, dads, what age did you decide, okay, kids, you cannot be on social media? And I'm just wondering, from a status symbol, that's got to be tough on parents because you know that everybody, a lot of those parents are like letting their kids do it. And then they come home and they're like, well, Tyrone is on Instagram. Why can't I be on Instagram? You know how it goes. 901-260-5926 is our number. That's 901-260-5926. Dylan, I'm curious to get your take on this story. Should you talk about politics when you date?
It depends on how many dates you've been on. The first date, I don't think so.
Really?
Yeah.
I remember asking somebody, as she was like, this was like decades ago. So are you like, because I said, are you like a Republican or a Democrat? And she said, Democrat, and I hit the car in front of me. That was a long night.
Well, nowadays politics plays so much part of people's lives. So, you know, that could be a red flag, you know, sign if someone's, you know, a different, you know, politic as you. But I don't know. You should get to know someone first, you know, find out what they do, what their job is, all this stuff before you get into the nitty gritties of politics.
So your generation, Dylan, your generation says, yeah, we don't have a problem with that. Hmm. In previous generations, they're saying, yeah, you should not talk about politics, you should not talk about religion, and you shouldn't talk about money. And it seems to me you ought to talk about all three of those things right out of the gate. Got enough money to pay for this dinner? So
that should be the first question.
Yeah. You're not an atheist, are you? You're not a godless heathen, are you?
Politics do play a big part in like religion too, you know.
It's true.
So, it's a huge part of someone's personality. So I can understand why our generation is like, yeah, that's a big question.
Well, the disciples were Republicans, so it's in the New Testament. Hey, look it up.
That's right.
Look it up. So according to data from Tinder, which now do you guys, is that like a thing? Everybody's using Tinder, or did you do it the old fashioned way by just meeting somebody in person?
Yeah, we had mutual friends, so we met in person.
You did it the old fashioned way.
Yeah, old fashioned.
Nowadays, people are like, are they really meeting? Are people really meeting on these apps? And does that actually work?
It's huge. Our generation is huge on Hinge, Tinder. Sorry.
Tinder? Yeah. What was the other one?
Hinge.
What is Hinge? I've never heard of that
Hinge
one.
Hinge is just another dating app. There's so many, Todd. Okay. So.
Goodness.
Pick your poison.
So anyway, a third of young people surveyed have admitted they have either ended a relationship or would do so if their partner was not politically engaged. That's huge. And I would say so. I mean, and here's the deal. And this really applies only to Republicans. So hear me on this. If you're a Republican guy, you don't want to be dating a liberal woman. You really don't. That's just going to be bad news. You're going to be miserable. That's all. And Republican ladies, if you're going to be dating a Democrat guy, you're going to be more of a man than he is. I'm just saying. So you want somebody that's going to be able to carry you out of a burning building, right, ladies? And I think the Democrat, the liberal soy boy in pajama pants, would leave you behind and call his mother. According to Tinder's research, 60% of young singles feel strongly the person they're dating should respect their political opinions. That's 65% for young women. Have you noticed, though, in society, now that the women are in control, by and large, have you noticed that there's chaos in the culture? Has anybody else noticed that? I mean, when you look at all these protests happening across America, by and large, these are women that are leading the charge, and the women who are shrieking, and they've got the magenta hair and these big old girls, and they're just out there and they're causing all this mayhem in the culture. It's just an observation. I'm not saying that all women are like that. I'm just saying, generally speaking, now that the women are in charge. Oh, by the way, WNBA, this bear. We have to remind people of this all the time. The WNBA would not exist without the NBA. So the ladies over the WNBA, just they have to go and they have to ask the NBA for money so they can pay their bills. Tom, what are you trying to say? I'm not trying to say anything. I'm just stating a fact here. That, you know, the girls want to be treated equally. Well, if that's the case, then they would be out there on their own. Why are they relying on a handout from the men? What does that say? 901-260-5926 is our number. That's 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show. All right, welcome back, everybody. We have some primaries today. Virginia, 5th Congressional District, and we're going to have reports on Newsmax and Newsmax 2 throughout the evening of Virginia, Georgia, and Oklahoma. And one of the big, big battles we're going to be watching, Bob Good in Virginia, chairman of the House Freedom Caucus, is facing a challenge from State Senator John McGuire. And McGuire actually has the endorsement of former President Trump. So Trump says, released a robocall, says, unlike Bob Good, John McGuire will not let you down. And Good, by the way, got on the bad side of Trump by endorsing Ron DeSantis in the GOP presidential primary. That's not good. Anyway, Good has a lot of support, including Mark Meadows, Matt Gaetz, Chip Roy, and Senator Rand Paul. So we'll keep you updated on those developments. That's going to be a big, big deal. The 3rd Congressional District, you've got a runoff in the Republican side between Brian Jack, who is President Trump's former advisor, and former state Senate Majority Leader Mike Duggan. And they're all battling it out to replace Drew Ferguson. So, again, Jack worked on Trump's campaign in 2016, got 46.7% of the vote in the primary. So, again, this is a pretty much a safe Republican district. We'll keep you updated on that. 901-260-5926. Let's go to New Orleans. Miss Janice, what's on your mind?
Hello, Todd. How you doing?
I'm well, thank you.
Yeah. I really enjoy you in the afternoon there on Newsmax, too. I just wish you were an hour instead of just 30 minutes.
Well, I know. Well, thank you. I will pass that along to management, Miss Janice.
Yeah, because I start listening to you and I really get into it, and then I just get into it, and then it's over. I'm like, oh, my goodness.
It's a fast show. It's a
I
fast
love it.
Show.
But, listen, I called the, excuse me, I have to clear my throat here a little bit. I don't know what's happening. Might be pollen in the air. But anyway, I called the Chicago Teachers Union, and I spoke to a lady, and I realized she just answers the phone. Most probably the head of that's never going to, you know what I said. But I just told her. I said, let me tell you something. I said, I don't look at people in colors. I look at all children as children. They all need to learn how to read and write and learn all the things that I did when I went to school. I told her, I said, now this is absolutely, totally ridiculous. I said, and that lady doesn't know what she's talking about.
It's true. I'm worried about this. You got a little pollen there. Maybe some allergies going on, Miss Janice.
Yeah, I told her what Biden said, too.
Oh.
I told her, I said, it was the Democrats. I said, it was the Democrats that were in favor of the KKK. I said, Biden said that he learned a lot about roaches. I said, he was calling black children roaches. I said, he didn't want his kids going to a racial jungle. I said, the Democrats are the racist people. I said, not the conservative people.
And what did they tell you? What did they tell you, Miss Janice?
Oh, what could she tell me? She didn't say anything. Like I said, she just answers the phone, you know?
Mm. But
and
it's
if you'd
true.
Like me to give the phone number out so other people can call, I can do that.
No. We'll put that up on the page, Miss Janice. But I'm glad you called, and they need to hear from a lot of people who, you know, again, we're talking about a teachers union. These are people that are influencing educators that are in the classroom. And this idea that conservatives don't want black children. Who said that? I want to know what conservative said they don't want black children to read. But I will tell you this, Miss Janice, I believe there are a lot of Democrats who don't want the black children to read. And I say that because these schools are in Democrat controlled cities. And these schools have been failing for generations and nobody has lifted a finger to do anything about it.
Well, that's sad, and that needs to change when Mr. Trump wins again in November.
Yes, indeedy. What are you taking for the cough? It sounds like allergies.
Well, I just started a few minutes ago. I'm going to go get me some water.
Well, maybe you're allergic to me. I don't know. Get some water.
Oh, no, I'm not allergic to you, Todd.
A little apple brandy?
You're really, really good at what you do.
Well, thank you, Miss Janice. It's good hearing from you, and you have a great rest of your day down there in New Orleans. I think the entire southern states are dealing with allergies and pollen. Walked in this morning, and I started sneezing, so maybe I'm allergic to myself. I don't know. 901-260-5926, or whatever. Let's go to Jerry in Arkansas, listening to us on KWAM. Hi, Jerry. What's going on?
Good afternoon, sir. Excellent work on Newsmax last night.
Thank you.
Expected no less. A couple things I wanted to hit on real quick. I know probably everybody listening knows, but I just wanted to remind everybody, because they are still crowing about Saturday night. Oh, my goodness. We raised $30 million, and we had to drag out half of Hollywood and Obama to do it. Well, it seems to me, if I remember correctly, just a couple of weeks ago, Trump raised twice that much in 5 hours, and he never had to leave Trump Tower.
And most of those came in small dollar donations, Jerry.
Yeah, I don't remember any celebrities showing up and helping him out to raise money there.
Jerry, here's the problem, though. They've got a youth vote problem, and I'm not sure any kids knew who any of those celebrities were up on that stage. They're all old.
You know, you may be right. Jack Black, he's been around a while now, hasn't he?
Yeah, what happened to him? He looked like some sort of a demented hillbilly type person. It's very strange.
He did look weird, that's for sure. Mm. The other thing I wanted to say is, and you know, I imagine you hear the same PSAs over there in West Memphis, you're just a couple hours down the road that we hear on the stations down here. You know, Fast?
I have no idea what you're talking about, Jerry. Sorry.
It's a PSA.
Okay, I have no idea what you're talking about.
Spot the signs of a stroke using Fast. F, face drooping. A, arm weakness. S, speech difficulty. T, time to call 911 because your buddy may be having a stroke. I think that our president has been having many strokes in front of the world. Practically every other day for the last 2 weeks. And where is Dr. Not a Dr. Jill?
Well, that's a fair point. Well, this is interesting. So you think Trump may be, or rather Biden may be having these mini strokes. That is a possibility. Something is happening in his brain where it just shuts down. And I've heard this before where if you have had previous strokes or, you know, medical issues impacting your brain, and you are put into a high-stress position, or you're not getting enough sleep, or you're anxious, there's a mechanism inside of you that is really just, you just shut down. And it takes somebody coming over and, you know, touching you or jolting you back into reality. So maybe that, I don't know, Jerry, that could be what happens. I don't know. Jerry, got to run. Thank you for that call. 901-260-5926 is our number. That's 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show. All right, welcome back, everybody. Good to have you with us. By the way, those of you living in the Memphis, Tennessee area, coming up Sunday evening at the Hilton Hotel, that's in East Memphis, Governor Kristi Noem is going to be the keynote speaker for the annual Lincoln Dinner. This is a huge, huge deal this year, and here's the reason why. The money that's raised is going to help elect pro-police, anti-criminal lawmakers. And so it's really imperative for every freedom-loving patriot listening to us in the Mid-South to get out there Sunday and be a part of the Lincoln Dinner there, sponsored by the Republican Party in Shelby County. So you'll have to go to their website, the Shelby County Republican Party, and you'll be able to get your reservations. Governor Noem is going to be speaking. I'll be there. Great Senator Brent Taylor will be there. It's going to be a lot of fun. And certainly hope to meet a lot of our great listeners. In the meantime, though, before that, I am heading out to Washington, D.C. I'll be doing the Newsmax show from our D.C. bureau. And there's a huge, huge conference coming up this weekend, the annual Road to the Majority Conference. It's going to be at the Washington Hilton. On the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line right now is Timothy Head, who is the executive director of the Faith and Freedom Coalition. Tim, good to have you with us today.
Well, likewise, good to be with you, Todd, and we're looking forward very much to being with you just in a few days here in Washington, D.C.
It's going to be a huge conference, and I especially, look, these things are fun every year, but for election years, the Road to the Majority, it's always jam-packed with lots of great speakers. Give our listeners a preview of what we can expect.
Well, you're exactly right. It's you just mentioned, you know, Kristi Noem going to be in Tennessee. She's also going to be. We have a kind of a keynote banquet, a gala on Saturday night, and Governor Noem's actually going to be with us that night. We're also going to. There's a pastor from down in San Antonio that's worked on Israel issues and CUFI for years and years. John Hagee is. We're going to be given our lifetime achievement. We call it our Winston Churchill a Lifetime Achievement Award. And then, you know, we've got a number of senators, Ted Cruz and Joni Ernst and James Lankford and Tim Scott and I don't know, we've got 10 or 12 senators actually coming, and then we certainly actually are looking forward to a number of other folks that are, well, Governor Youngkin from Virginia is going to be with us. Actually, this is his first time at Road to Majority. So we're looking forward to a really chock full 3 days, basically, of hearing from pro-life, pro-family, pro-Israel leaders, both in elected office and then personalities just like yourself that are leading the charge on educating the United States on these important issues.
It really is a who's who. And, of course, heading that list is what President Trump. Do you have any details on the president? He's going to be speaking?
Well, that's a good question. We're still actually trying to finalize the details there. You know, the tricky thing for him, we found, he's been with us 8 of the last 10 years. But because of his schedule, his travel schedule and campaign schedule being somewhat condensed in the last, you know, several months, he's trying to figure out how to be, you know, multiple places in a single day. So we're still hopeful maybe that Friday morning he's going to be with us, but we're kind of in the final moments of trying to finish out the details with him for being with us, hopefully.
You know what's going to happen. So Senator Bill Hagerty and Kristi Noem and I are probably going to be on the same flight back to Memphis so we can make it back for the Sunday event. That'll be fun.
It's entirely possible.
So this is huge. And even though this is, you know, you've got all these great speakers, incredible communicators, I just really don't think it's about us. I think it's about the people getting together, getting motivated, building that excitement to get out there and get out the vote.
Well, you know, I think that is a very astute observation, because you're right. You look, I mean, at the end of the day, you know, I like to say that that the voters, that elected officials are really like the actors, and we, the voters, actually write the script, in essence, for them to play. And so, you know, it's really important. One of the main reasons why we do this is certainly, you know, to kind of galvanize those voters. But just as importantly, it's for the elected officials and candidates to see that this remains the Christian, the evangelical and Catholic vote remains by far the largest single constituency, not in Republican politics, in all of politics, Republican or Democrat. This is the largest constituency in all of American politics. And they still want, you know, they want results delivered. And, you know, we're thankful for a lot of the wins that we've seen, both on the Supreme Court level and judiciary levels and legislative levels across the country in the last several years. But we're not done. And we still believe that there are fights to be fought and wins to be won.
This is the nation's premier pro-faith, pro-family event, folks, and it's going to be held at the Washington Hilton this coming weekend, June 20th through the 22nd. If you want information, go to ffcoalition.com and just look for the Road to the Majority. You'll find all the conference info. How many folks are you guys expecting, Tim?
Yeah, we'll have between 2,500 and 3,000 once again this year. That's about what we had last year as well. So, you know, a lot of energy, a lot of interest. And I think a lot of excitement as we're kind of moving into summer and then certainly kind of rounding third and heading home as we move into the RNC and then election season starting really in August.
You guys have been out there. You've been hitting the road. You've been talking to people out there in a lot of those battleground states. What's the vibe? What are you hearing from voters?
You know, it's an interesting dynamic. So, you know, think back obviously to 2020, there was a lot of kind of sturm and drang over all kinds of things at that point. 24 couldn't be more different. There's a lot of eagerness, frankly. A lot of people wish that we could just kind of fast forward and get to, you know, the first week of November, because, you know, I think most people don't really, there's not a lot of suspense. They know what they know about both, you know, about the current president and Biden and the past president and Trump. And they're like, you know, we don't need to watch TV commercials and get more YouTube ads or whatever. We're ready to pull the lever right now. And so I think there's a lot of kind of, you know, the only suspense probably is maybe Trump's running mate. And beyond that, I think people are kind of ready to hopefully put a Biden administration in the rearview mirror sooner than later.
Who do the faith voters like? Who do they like in that VP spot?
Boy, it's a great question. You know, I would say, I mean, frankly, I think that you're probably down to like a Tim Scott, probably Marco Rubio and maybe J.D. Vance. And ironically enough, you know, different pockets kind of like different features of each of those. But there's a lot of kind of anticipation and satisfaction, you know, that if those are the three final choices, I think a lot of people can get behind any of those three for very strong reasons unique to one another.
All right. So tickets are still available for the weekend.
We do. I think the dinner on Saturday night is probably the tightest. We're only down to a couple of dozen seats left there. But for the rest of the conference, we still have a little bit of space available on Friday morning and Saturday morning.
All right. Good stuff. And looking forward to delivering remarks there, folks. You'll be able to, again, go to ffcoalition.com. That's ffcoalition.com. We're also going to be doing a book signing. So those of you who have not gotten your book signed, bring your book or you can buy one there. And we'll be happy to sign that for you. But it is going to be so much fun as we get together a lot of just gun-toting, Bible-clinging patriots that are standing together at the Faith and Freedom Coalition. All right, Tim, are you already there? I don't know how you even had time to take a break for this.
That's right. Well, we're we've got a little bit of a lull. I think we've gotten pretty much most of the details. Most of our team got here on Sunday and Monday, so I'm at the hotel here, and I think we've kind of buttoned down things with the rest of the hotel. And so today we're just kind of talking with some good folks like yourself, and we'll cruise into Thursday and start having some fun.
All right, there you go, folks. Timothy Head. He is the executive director of the Faith and Freedom Coalition Road to the Majority Conference this weekend. This is the biggest one, folks. You're going to want to be there for this, and looking forward to meeting all of you out there. And, of course, we'll be doing the Newsmax show from our D.C. Bureau on Friday as well. All right, Tim, we're going to let you get back to it.
Thanks so much. As always, Todd, we'll look forward to seeing you this weekend.
All right, there we go. Timothy Head, Faith and Freedom Coalition, the executive director. That is going to be a lot of fun. That is one of my favorite events, and they do, first of all, a spectacular conference. And so if you can get out there, it's very economical, and they don't nickel and dime you. It's just, you pay your entrance fee, and that's it. You're going to meet so many wonderful people. I'm scrolling down the list here. My only issue is who I'm parked next to here. So I'm parked next to Lindsey Graham. Yeah, really? Well, but then Barry Loudermilk, then Christine Ohm, Bill Hagerty, Carrie Lake, and Tulsi Gabbard. Some of the others are going to be speaking: Joni Ernst, Elise Stefanik, Monica Crowley. He mentioned John Hagee, Michael Whatley, who is the chairman of the Republican National Committee, my good buddy Lee Zeldin from New York, and Dr. Alveda King. She and I were actually on a flight. Where were we going? I was coming back from Greensboro, North Carolina. We were literally sitting across from each other in the airplane, and she was flying back to Atlanta. So anyway, just a delightful lady. All right, let's take a call here. Robert in North Carolina. Robert, thanks for holding on. What's on your mind, sir?
Well, I'd like to thank the little gal come on there from New Orleans. I lived there a little while, Todd, but I just kind of want you to know, I'll pull for Trump through anything. My dad was in jail. And, well, he's actually in federal prison for all the moonshine. And I love him more than anything. He taught me how to be a man. He got out of prison. He taught me how to love God. I don't know where this country's going, but we got our butts whooped back when I growed up. I think it's ash busting time. I mean, I hate to say it, but that's how it is. It's ash busting time to these little punks.
So Robert, you're telling me that you don't have a problem here with the fact that President Trump's got a criminal record?
No, I don't. No, he's a great man. He come through Mills River here and waved at me and my friend Vander.
Is that
down
right?
There, and Vander has a daughter and granddaughter, and I'm telling you, I've never seen Joe Biden come through Mills River, Todd.
That's true. He doesn't. Yeah, Biden doesn't like to visit any hoods, no matter where they are. Robert, I'm curious. So your dad, is he still in prison for the moon? He's running moonshine.
My dad moonshine for a long time. He went into the military to get out of it one time.
Well, all right.
In the Marine Corps. But he went right back to doing it again, Todd. I mean, my old man was cool. If you ever met him, you'd love him.
Was the moonshine good?
Everybody around here loved him.
Mm. Well, I guess they did if he made moonshine, and if it was good, I bet everybody liked.
You know, he didn't make it for us. He just let us know what a criminal. And he told us if you get into the trouble, you got to get out of it.
It's the revenuers.
Yeah, yeah. I mean,
blasted revenuers.
I never. You look at my criminal history. I ain't even got a speeding ticket, Todd.
Wow.
You know, the cops here in Henderson County are great. Lowell Griffin's a great sheriff.
Well, I'm glad to hear that. Well, Robert, thank you for calling in, and I'm glad to hear from you. I think a lot of people, folks, believe along with Robert, not about the moonshine, but about Trump, right? That Donald Trump, even though he has a criminal record, we all know what that's really all about, and it's not going to impact us one iota. And we're seeing that in a lot of the new polling data that's coming out. But look, let me warn you about these polls. So they play loosey-goosey with these numbers. So don't be surprised if over the summer, as we're heading into the election cycle, all of a sudden the bottom's going to drop out and the polls are going to say, oh, Trump is behind, 10 points now. Folks, just stay focused, right? That's all I'm asking is stay focused. There's going to be a lot of stuff they're going to throw at you. But we have to remain committed to getting out and voting. If you do early voting, get out and do your early voting and ask for a paper ballot. All right, got to take a break. 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show. All right, the Freedom From Religion Foundation's very upset. That's the atheist group out of Wisconsin. I think they're lactose intolerant, which is why they're in such an angry mood all the time. Anyway, there is a school district, and the school district is facing big trouble. This is in Texas, the Victoria Independent School District. High school graduation, they give every child a diploma, at least the graduates, and they get a Bible. I think that's a pretty noble thing, right? So here's your diploma and here's a Bible. Read this book and don't screw up. Good luck to you. Anyway, concerned employees, you know it had to have been one of the big magenta-haired gals. A concerned employee informed the atheist that the Bibles were being distributed. And here's how it goes. As soon as the kids graduate and they walk off the stage, there's a table, right? And the graduates are invited to grab a Bible. You don't have to grab a Bible, but if you want to grab a Bible, you can get a Bible. In other words, there's nothing mandatory about it. And by the way, two students, that's right, students, are there handing out the Bibles. So no adults are involved in this. Anyway, the Freedom From Religion Foundation says this is all illegal. It is inappropriate and unconstitutional for a public school to offer religious representatives unique access to students in order to hand out Bibles in the hopes of indoctrinating them. Well, yeah, we want American school kids to grow up to be God-fearing patriots, not a bunch of godless heathens. I'm just saying. The school district, according to the atheist, the school district attempted to coerce students into taking a Bible. This is what coercion is. Hey, want a Bible? That's coercion. The atheists say that either they had to take a Bible, offending their conscience, or refuse, jeopardizing their standing with their peers and outside adults. What? Come on. So basically they're saying, oh, if you say no, thank you, I already have one at home. Oh, you're one of those people. You're a godless heathen atheist, aren't you? The patchouli oil gave it away. Okay. Anyway, the school district tells its students to grab a Bible while having them as a captive audience. This is according to the atheist. That is both promotion of Christianity and coercion. Now, here's what coercion would be. You will not receive your diploma until you read this Bible. take this Bible and read it and memorize it, and then we'll give you your deposit. That is coercion. Saying, hey, congratulations, here's a Bible if you want one. That's just being Texas courteous. That's all that is. All right, coming up, 5 o'clock Eastern, we're going to do a recap of President Trump's big rally in Wisconsin. You'll be able to watch that live on Newsmax 2 this afternoon. That's coming up in just about an hour or so. President Biden is giving remarks about Dreamers. We are waiting for those remarks. We're going to carry those live on Newsmax 2 as well. We've got a lot of ground to cover this evening. You're going to want to join in. Ben Dieter's going to drop by for his weekly segment as well. In the meantime, folks, I want to invite you to head over to the website, toddstearns.com. Have you signed up for the podcast? What about the newsletter? You can do it both today. Takes 30 seconds and will not cost you a penny. We give those things to you free of charge. All right, folks, get out there. Been a great day. You be good, America.